Welcome to Just a Minute. Well, hello, Sue Perkins here. And as the Minute Wars fades away, what a pleasure it is to welcome you to another edition of Just a Minute. Time to introduce you to the four talented people who are playing tonight. They are Jan Ravens, Tony Hawkes, Catherine Parkinson and Stephen Fry. Please whoop and cheer for all four of them. It comes as no surprise that I'll be asking them to speak on any given topic for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating. So let's see how they all get on. Now, Jan.
Yes.
Now, the subject here is shattering the illusion. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on shattering the illusion? Starting now.
Well, my illusions were well and truly shattered that I was a rather lovely dancer. As a teenager, I had cut some interesting shapes on the dance floor, and I went on to Strictly and soon discovered that I was an ugly duckling darling and clumpy darling and hefty darling.
Tony, let her work it through, Tony, you challenged.
Was there a repetition of Darling?
It was. She did repeat it a few times. So yeah. I'll give the subject to Tony. And that is, need I remind you, shattering the illusion. 37 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now.
I feel that the audience here tonight might have their illusions shattered that we are competent speakers of the English language. They have had to witness, in only the few seconds that have been going in this programme, several mistakes, or one, really. Let's be fair about it. Let's not overdo things, guilt.
Stephen.
Two lets. Yeah.
Let's be fair about it. Well, listen, that's a correct challenge. And that means you get the subject, and it is shattering the illusion, and your time starts now.
First, most important law of magic, as far as illusionists are concerned, is that that illusion must not be shattered, certainly by sharing the techniques behind the trick, the prestidigitation, the general deception that is being pulled on the audience. You have to keep it secret, otherwise the whole profession...
Word again?
Yeah, what
prestidigitation.
Prestidigitation.
Yeah. Fingers. Digits, fingers. What's the tation?
That's the thing that makes it a noun.
Oh, that's that. Never got very far with linguistics. Yeah. Yes, and well said. Listen, you managed to speak. No surprises there. As the whistle went, you get the point. And Tony, we are with you for the next subject, which is small town secrets. What can you tell us about that? 60 seconds starting now.
Up and down the country as I am speaking now, there are people in small towns with big secrets. They do not want their neighbours to know they are even listening to this programme when perhaps they told them.
Jan.
Repetition of they. They do not.
I mean, it's very... we start doing that, we're in a very difficult, slippery place. I'm going to give you a point for a correct challenge, Jan, but I'm actually not going to let you keep the subject because I'm going to discourage people from picking on short words that they're going to need to construct a viable narrative in the show.
That's good, isn't she?
Good point. Yeah.
So I'm going to give you the point, but give Tony back the subject, and we're going to have no more of this nonsense. 46 seconds remaining, starting now.
Imagine if Ambleside, say, didn't tell Keswick that it had entered the Bloom of the Year competition for that particular annum, that would be a small-town secret, in that they weren't communicating between them something that ought to be general knowledge. Let's face it, let's get it out in the open. I'm doing a lot of letses now.
Stephen!
We've done lets again.
Yeah, I have, yes.
He's done a lot
I might say let us next time.
Good.
Can I just say let's is the same length as they?
Needed far, far less frequently.
Not in Tony's case,
too bad. Well,
perhaps we could build in a little bylaw for me. Let's do that.
Let's do it. No, do you know what? They is very different from let's, and that's the end of it. Correct challenge, Stephen. 20 36 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now.
It is a maxim of mine, Watson, that the lowest and vilest alleys of London do not present a grimmer record of crime than the broad and smiling countryside. So said Holmes in an episode called The Copper Beeches. And there is some truth in that. We think of urban landscapes as being crammed with dark secrets, but the countryside, my word.
Catherine.
Repetition of countryside?
Yes, repetition of countryside.
Oh, I thought it was in there. Oh, no.
That is an excellent bit of poaching. Catherine, who's not played the game very often before. 2 seconds remaining, she's poached on that. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant steal. Small town secrets, and your time starts now.
Small town secrets involve towns not knowing they're small.
Well done, speaking as the whistle went. Means you get the point, and you also get the next subject. Let's see what we've got in store. The subject of ridicule. What can you tell us about the subject of ridicule, I wonder? Your time starts now.
I wonder why I've been given this topic, the subject of ridicule. Is it because I did Taskmaster a few years ago and presented as extremely thick? I would like to say in this public forum that that was a deliberate act on my part, because by presenting yourself as...
Jan.
Presenting.
Yes. Correct challenge, Jan. You get the points. And you also get the subject, which, to remind you, is the subject of ridicule, with 35 seconds on the clock, starting now.
I felt very much the subject of ridicule when I was 14 and thought I was a skinhead and was dressed in a Harrington jacket, a Trevira skirt and boys brogue shoes, and was sauntering along Hoylake Prom when I saw Jamie Lancaster coming towards me, and he just looked at me and said, "Janet Ravens, you're too hard for myself." And he didn't really say that, but I had to say that because of this now I've repeated say.
Tony.
Quite a lot of says in there.
There were lots of says.
It is only three letters, but, you know...
Tony, correct challenge. You get the subject. Subject of ridicule starting now.
I am delighted to have been given the subject of ridicule.
Stephen, we're with you. Your subject is a unicycle. 60 seconds on a unicycle, not literally, although I'd like to see it. Your time starts now.
I have so little to give here. A unicycle is like a bicycle, only it has one wheel. End of story. But I suppose we have to try and find something else to elaborate on as far as this instrument is concerned. It's not easy to ride, I think. It's usually people in show business, variety acts, you see, with unicycles and other things, juggling while they're doing it. I don't find it the greatest form of entertainment that the world has to offer.
Tony?
He's too bored. We can't have this. He's gonna have a bit of a bloody enthusiasm. They work so hard on those unicycles, all the practice they do, and you've got to go, oh, and they juggle on them. I'm reading a book that's got prestidigitation in it. And we can't have this suit.
No. I mean, he is denigrating a major... I mean, I wouldn't say it's an art form. I wouldn't go that far. But there's a lot of skill that goes into it. I enjoyed the challenge. I'll give you a point for it. But under the rules of just a minute, Stephen does need to keep the subject. And also, the perverse part of me, which is, as you know, the greater part of me, wants to hear just how much more bored Stephen becomes. You've got 28 seconds to fall asleep talking about a unicycle starting now.
The skill, the balance, the way they manage with such strength and dedication to use this very difficult instrument, yes.
Did he say dedication?
Dedication.
Oh, it was dedication.
It was dedication, which is when the Diddy men really apply themselves to something.
Deviation from the English language, which he should bloody know well.
There was a little stumbly slip, and I think we do need to hold him to higher account because he's the master of language. And so I'll give that to you, Tony. 19 seconds, please. On a unicycle starting now.
Unicycling is so boring. to watch it in a circus. The guy just went round and again, and you know what? We thought there must be something exciting round the corner, and there wasn't.
Yes. Repetition of round.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Round.
It always comes back to bite you. Great challenge. 5 seconds remaining. On a unicycle, starting now.
There used to be a man I watched in the park near me when I was growing up who used to ride around.
Catherine speaking as the whistle went means she gets that valuable point, and that marks the end of our first round. And let's have some scores, I know. Jan in fourth, it's all very tight though. Stephen in third, Catherine in second place, and Tony is ahead with 5 points. Well done. Jan, we're back with you. Subject, sibling rivalry. Can you speak without hesitating, repeating, or deviating?
Probably
and
not.
Freely using the word they. On sibling rivalry, your time starts now.
Sibling rivalry is very common, and it goes on throughout the generations. My brother and I were very...
Catherine.
Repetition of very.
Yes, it was a repetition of very, yes. Correct challenge. Catherine, you get the point, you get the subject. 50 seconds, please, on sibling rivalry, starting now.
I've been fortunate to never experience sibling rivalry because both my brothers would rather be like anybody else other than myself. It means that we have never had any competitive spirit between us, which I consider really valuable to fraternal relations. I find that pen...
Did you experience a supernatural event at the end of that? It was a sudden haunting.
I can't say what that was. I don't know what happened.
Try and explain that, because we might have to HR.
Sure.
My hands were above the desk.
Can I blame that on a sort of moment of indigestion and carry on, or is that not how it works?
I mean, that classic indigestion.
I'd run out of stuff to say.
I appreciate that. Do you know what? I liked your honesty, and that gives you a point. Well done.
Yeah.
But, Stephen, you gave a challenge. And in the meantime, you get the subject with 30 seconds remaining on sibling rivalry starting now.
I sometimes wonder whether famous siblings like, I don't know, Shirley MacLaine and Warren Beatty, did they have that rivalry when they were young? Or Richard and David Attenborough? Imagine them growing up in Leicester. Did they fight each other, I wonder? Hard to know. They seem to get on very well later in life.
And that's a challenge from you, Tony.
Repetition of wonder.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, yes, I wonder a lot,
I sometimes wonder.
Yeah.
And then, yes, yeah. I wonder, yeah. Very, very good. Mm. Very good interception.
Good playing of the game.
Yeah. Right, 11 seconds on the clock. Sibling rivalry starting now.
Those of us who watched the Bros documentary may have witnessed some marvellous sibling rivalry going on between those two pop stars who would quarrel in the recording studio about that.
But Antonio spoke to us went, and Catherine, one for you. Seasickness. 60 seconds to tell us all about it. Your time starts now.
Sea legs is a phrase that doesn't mean your legs are made of the ocean.
Stephen, you have a challenge.
Legs.
Sea legs. Yes, it's probably hyphenated, isn't it? It's certainly not one word, sea legs, I'm afraid.
There we are.
And it's a correct challenge, Stephen. So well done. Sea legs, two separate words. And you get seasickness, 53 seconds starting now.
It's not really a subject you would imagine for literature, and yet one of my favourite scenes in recent novels is Colm Tóibín's Brooklyn, where the heroine vomits violently in a ship on her way to America, and it's so beautifully written. You can't imagine that that would be the kind of story you would want to read, but I urge you to. It's very good. Good film.
Tony, you had a challenge.
Repetition of read.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I didn't get a double
Let's
read.
Let's put it to the group.
Oh.
So, that's a correct challenge. There was a repetition of read. So, well done, Tony. You get the point. You get the subject, which is seasickness, starting now.
Whenever I see sickness, I go and help, because I'm that kind of person. And I've done a medical course, which means that I can administer all kinds of things that are necessary when the occasion arises. That's the kind of fella...
Oh, Stephen.
Yeah, a couple of kinds, though. It's the kind of person I am.
Yeah. So, correct challenge, you get it back as part of the seasickness ping-pong that's now occurring. Mm-hmm. 15 seconds, and your time starts now.
I don't think I've ever actually suffered from seasickness, but I'm aware of it because of films and stories. And there is something called Dramamine, which is supposedly good for it. Also, looking at the horizon apparently helps. I don't know. I can't be sure. I'm never certain.
Stephen was speaking as the whistle went. He gets the point. He also gets our next subject, which is Mark Antony.
Prepare yourself, ladies and gentlemen. I suspect he knows nothing about this as well.
Let's see what you've got in the tank. 60 seconds starting now.
Marcus Antonius, a third cousin of Julius Caesar, whom he helped and fought with, and indeed supported after his assassination, if such a thing can be said. Friends, Romans and countrymen, lend me your ears. I come to bury Caesar Rem, he would have said in the accusative, not to praise him. The evil men do lives after them, the good stays off.
Tony.
I told you.
I enjoyed it, you're not having it. 36 seconds, back with you, Stephen, now, starting now.
He was part of the triumvirate with Octavius and Lepidus that fell apart after that death, and he went off to Egypt where he met Cleopatra the VII, the Ptolemaic pharaoh, who is known, of course, for bathing in milks and various things, but really was a remarkable woman, a great leader in her own way. But love and sex stopped them from having the power and indeed the long life they might have.
Tony.
Repetition of indeed.
Oh. It's the sort of word I would repeat, and you may be banking on that.
It feels like a fryish word, doesn't it?
Let's put it to the group.
Oh.
It is a repetition. It's a correct challenge. And indeed was repeated. So with 8 seconds, it's all yours. Tony, take it away now.
My teacher used to say to me, I'm going to give you a mark, Antony, for all the work you've done this term. 9 out of 10.
Now for the real fun, the totting up of some scores at the end of round two. And with bated breath, we have got Jan in third place. We've got a tie in second place between Catherine and Stephen, and Tony leaping ahead in first. Tony, trying times indeed. But can you speak on the subject of trying times? We shall find out. 60 seconds, please, starting now.
Not that long ago, we had an election, and they seemed to feature a lot of chat about what trying times these are for people with the cost of living crisis, food prices, that kind of stuff. We had to suffer them telling it was trying times, but was it really? Well, for some, certainly. And I'm going to get myself in deep water if I keep on talking like this, when people will think, oh, God.
Repetition of people.
Yeah.
Yes. And he was in deep water and you have saved him. With 33 seconds from it, you could have waited another 30 and got in there. Come on. Save yourself the effort, but no, you've gone for it. 33 seconds, the subject is yours. To remind you, it's trying times and it starts now.
I didn't really know what to say on this subject, but actually now I'm thinking about it. I think... Oh.
No, you're OK. Stephen, you challenged.
No, she's safe. Thinking and think is fine.
Oh, he buzzed
in. Thank you, guys.
Incorrect challenge. You need to thank us. Those are the rules.
Yeah.
26 seconds remaining. It's still yours. Trying times, and off you go. Tony.
I just breathe.
She doesn't
slowly.
Know what to say on this subject. She already admitted it once.
That was an intake of breath, though.
Was it?
Yeah, I would say, massive lungs.
I would say that, I mean, you're known for it, massive lungs, huge lungs. So the thing is, they will very much get on the case if you take a second after I ask you to speak. So okay. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt in this case. 25 seconds remaining. Trying time starting now.
Trying times is a matter of perspective. We can often think we're living through trying times, and that's not the case.
That is a repetition of things.
Oh, God!
It's come back to bite you. Yeah. Correct challenge. Well done, Stephen. You get the subject of 19 seconds on trying time, starting now.
It's the national newspaper for judges. Trying times. You might say, of course, it's possible you would think that the sentences are too short. Do you see what I'm doing there? That's pathetic, Stephen. Please do better than that. Trying times are what we have lived in and will go through.
Well, Stephen spoke as the whistle went. And Catherine, one for you. Settle a bet. Let's hear what you've got to say on that subject in 60 seconds, starting now.
The only time I can remember having to settle a bet was many years ago with my now husband, when I had a wager, which was that he would not be able to fit 3 marbles up each of his nostrils. I laid a £10 note on the coffee table between us, and I went off to find glass spherical balls to place up his large orifices.
Tony?
Has he got 3 nostrils?
As sure as she has the largest lungs in show business, he has a tertiary nostril.
It makes no sense. What would he do? How would he decide which nostril to put the 2 in? I mean, it has to be 4. It must have been 4. You've got this wrong. It was surely 4 marbles.
It was a long time ago. I can't remember exactly how many marbles.
Well, let's phone him up.
Your challenge, Tony?
Has it said? No, I haven't got one, actually. I just wanted to interrupt because it was bothering me.
I think it's only fair she gets the opportunity because she was the one inserting multiple marbles up the 3 nostrils available to her. Yeah. But we just get a little bit more detail. So I'm going to say that's an incorrect challenge. 31 seconds remaining on Settle a Bet. Your time starts now.
As I went to try to find the items, I suddenly panicked. No, I thought, I might love this man, and by pushing these items up his...
Tony.
These items, of which there were 3, repetition.
Yes, there's a
repetition. I now want to really spend the rest of the evening talking about their courtship. It sounds really beautiful. Can we ask how much the bet was?
£10.
Right,
OK. It's a £10 bet. Marvellous. I mean, that's...
Bloody loaded.
And did you do it in the end?
It's all a lie.
I'm shocked.
Sorry, I thought that was the point.
And disappointed.
I went on an emotional journey.
Listen, he's got very large nostrils, and I think he probably could put 3.
Well, that's good to know.
But if you're going to lie next time, make it 4 marbles.
All right, sorry.
Listen, I'm not listening to any more. I feel used, actually. Yeah. I feel sighed, and I'm furious about it. And Tony, yes, you're getting the subject. 20 seconds remaining on Settle a Bet, starting now.
One bloke bet me I couldn't hitchhike round Ireland with a fridge many years ago, and I did, and I wrote a book about it, and it earned a lot of money, and he was so fed up about it, I was delighted. And he is a bitter little man to this day.
Jan, you challenged.
I can't remember why now.
Repetition of man.
Oh, repetition of man, like my friend said.
Well, then, that seems a perfectly reasonable challenge. You get the subject with 6 seconds remaining.
What is the subject again?
It's how to settle a bet. Settle a bet, 6 seconds. Bring it home, starting now.
It is impossible to settle a bet until you know the result of the race or the competition or the match.
And now I'm really sad to say it's the final round. Oh. Thank you for that entirely elicited emotional response. You really are too good to us. And it's with you, Stephen. Horticulture. That's a lovely thing to end the show on, isn't it? Horticulture. Mm. Your time starts now.
Well, Dorothy Parker said you can lead a horticulture, but you can't make her think, which is one of her better gags, I suppose. Horticulture derives from the Latin hortus, meaning garden, culture, growing. And it's all about things to do with your area of cultivation. Flowers and vegetables both count horticulturally. And you know what? You're nearer to God in a garden, someone once said. A garden is a lovesome thing. Oh, too many gardens. All those gardens.
Jam. Too many gardens.
Yes, correct. Challenge, 31 seconds on the clock for you on horticulture, starting now.
Well, of course, horticulture is the métier of the Royal Horticultural Society, who hold the Chelsea Flower Show every year, where you see Sophie Raworth, who is saying, here I am at the most English thing, even more English than me. Doing an impression and trying to do just a minute at the same time is not a good idea.
I enjoyed it hugely. Yeah. Tony, you challenged.
Yes, there was a repetition.
Yes.
That's what very unlike
what
me.
What was this a repetition of?
Oh, God.
The reason I ask you is because I want to be specific, yeah, and you couldn't say, and so I am going to give it back to Jan because I really like hearing her do a Sophie Raworth impression. So, 15 seconds, Jan, on horticulture, starting now.
I have just been staying in a house in Southwest Ireland where there was the most beautiful garden. What an example of horticulture it was. There were hydrangeas of the most lush variety.
Catherine.
Repetition of most?
Yes, there were most ooh, wonderful.
That's, ooh, that's... That's ruffled them.
What a move.
The thing is that there's such a beautiful symmetry that occurs naturally with this show, I find, and with half a second to go. Now, Catherine's not played the game very often, but I want you to know, when you come back, as I very much hope you will, you shall be held to a higher standard. With half a second, take it away. That's all we've got time for, sadly. We've got to stop there. But well played, one and all. Scores in fourth place. Jan in third, Stephen in second, Tony. And the winner of tonight's show, Catherine Parkinson! there, my lovelies, we have to leave you. But first of all, thank you to all of our incredible players tonight. Jan Ravens, Tony Hawkes, Catherine Parkinson and Stephen Fry. We are, of course, indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised this crazy game, and to Nicholas Parsons, who steered it so magnificently. We also thank Sarah Nichols for blowing her whistle very, very loudly in my ear for the entire thing, and I thank her for it. The producer was Rajiv Kari. This was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thank you so much for listening wherever you are. And please do join us again next time we play Just a Minute.